This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the final breakout session of the day. Tim Weaver is our speaker for this session. Tim has spent the last 26 years in service, and the past 20 of those years has been as an administrator at the Fresh Start Training Center. So his job involves working with VSers all the time. He told me this morning that he's in his years of service, he's worked with over 175 volunteers. And so he should know pretty well what a good volunteer looks like, I would think. And so Tim is going to talk to us this afternoon about what the attitude and the heartbeat of a successful volunteer is. So welcome, Tim.
Well, good afternoon. It is good to be with you all here today. I get to talk about going into voluntary service and all of that kind of good thing, and that's it's a pretty close subject for me. I started my first stint of VS at 20 years old. Actually, I was almost 21, about 6 weeks shy of being 21 years old, there at Fresh Start Training Center. And you know, I thought when I signed up for an 18-month term, I thought, you know, I'm going to do my term, and I'm going to go back to Florida. I'm going to own my own lawn business. It's the background that I come from, and life is just going to be happily ever after, you know. 26 years later, I'm still at Fresh Start. You figure that out. I'm not sure how that all works. Other than there is the issue of being called to voluntary service. I grew up in a very conservative home. My dad was a preacher. That makes me a PK. Hopefully that doesn't offend or scare anyone here. Started my first job at 10 years old, a little fruit market down the street, and I would go in after school and a couple hours on Saturdays. From there, I went to my next job, washing dishes at and bussing tables at Yoder's Restaurant in Pinecraft. Anybody ever been to Pinecraft? There we go. Soon after that, my dad bought a lawn business. I was about 13, 14 years old. And so I started helping him mow grass. And we had this customer, her name was Lula Long. And as we would go to Lula's house, we were hired to cut grass, but we would change light bulbs and we would move flower plants and we would do, you name it, we did it. You never knew what you were going to get into. But this Lula was a very saintly lady, probably 80 years old. She was a woman of God. And she would continue to reinforce in my heart. And I was 15 years old, 14, 15, 16 years old in those days. And she would continue to say, Tim, God is going to use your life to minister to people. God is going to use you in a capacity far greater than mowing lawns. And I kept hearing that week after week, month after month. That went on for probably a couple years. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today, was a dear lady of God speaking life into my heart. You know, 20 years old, I came for an interview at Fresh Start, and I'd considered going some other places. I was asked to go to another organization, chose not to go there. I was interested in voluntary service. My parents suggested that I consider Fresh Start, and I had no idea what Fresh Start was, but upon their suggestion, I went there, walked in, and I knew before I got there that there was one fellow on staff that I had met once before. And I'm 1,000 miles away from home now, having grown up in Sarasota. Even though Fresh Start is the community where I was born, my family moved away from there when I was 6 years old. But I walked into Fresh Start not knowing anyone. And my first objective was to find the one fellow that I had met once before. That was my security line. And so I found him. He was out in the shop doing some things. And we connected. And he said, well, Tim, let's go in and meet the house parents. And we walked in the back hallway and into the training room, and here's Mr. Houseparent and another staff fella, and they are in here just praying up a storm. This is a man of prayer, praying up a storm. And when I walked into that room, I cannot tell you that it was an audible voice of God, but it may as well have been. It was every bit that clear. Tim, this is where you are supposed to be. And immediately the questions, the doubts erased, because I knew I had heard from God that this is where I was supposed to be. So from there, did an interview in the next day or two. I was there about 2 days to visit and did an interview. I was nervous. Any of y'all go through a staff interview somewhere, it is incredibly hard. Now I do those interviews and I make those people suffer just like I suffered. but anyway, you know, and I don't know why those people hired me. There was a three-man board there that did my interview. I guess they were needing somebody with skin on to work at Fresh Start. I don't know. But I came into the program very naive, had no training. I was hired as a single counselor mentor for other single men. That was in February. I arrived at Fresh Start April 1st of 1991. And April 1st, probably about April 6th or April 8th, I had my first client. 20 years old, zero training, coming from a background where I had kind of been the good boy. Imagine where I went. It was an incredible, incredible journey. It was sink, swim, die, whatever, but somewhere we were going to get through. Gratefully, I was in a program that was committed to prayer, and I was in a program where the staff functioned as a team, and I was not an island by myself. Otherwise, it would never have worked. there was challenges enough as it was. So, that was 26 years ago. And, you know, those first couple years, I signed up for 18 months. I was there 2 years. And by the way, another part of that story, my wife and I are married today, but we had our first date the night before I left Florida to go to work at Fresh Start. First date, one night before. And so I dated the whole 2 years that we were there. We were engaged by the time I left Fresh Start. So I moved to Georgia, where my wife was from. Lived there a total of about 10 months during the time that we got married and kind of learned about that much of what married life is. And so February of 94, we were back at Fresh Start. And so in that time at Fresh Start, I've worked in several different roles. I was phase two house parent for a while, and some of these kind of overlapped. Phase two house parent for a while. I was shop foreman for a couple years. Did a little bit of marriage counseling. I was married less than a year, and I was already doing marriage counseling. I don't understand all of that. Yeah. 1997, I was asked to be administrator, and told my wife about that when I got home one night, and she said, go back and tell our administrator, present administrator, chairman, that she was like Sarah. She laughed. But God had us on this journey, and it's been good. It's been really good. I'm grateful for the calling that God has had. As I think of the calling, the thing I would like to emphasize there is when you think about going into voluntary service, you know, I said sink, swim, or die, we were in it. Had it not been that I knew where I was supposed to be, I would have never lasted. I would have never endured. But knowing that I was where God had put me gave me a calmness and a reassuring that everything was going to be okay, in spite of difficulty, in spite of trouble. So if you leave this session with one item today, I would like for you to connect that voluntary service requires the call of God in your life. Okay, how do you discern the call of God? How do you discern the will of God? That gets fuzzy. I don't know that anybody can really give you a written out answer to that. But the fact is, when it's the call of God, you will know it, and you will be able to live your life based on that calling. And that is an incredible, incredible journey. At the same time, I say I've been called. I also would say, if I hear the clearness to leave, of which I heard the clearness to come, you can call me gone. I'll be gone. Okay? It's just the way it works. God's call is the most important thing in our life. So let's say you've been called. You've heard the call. You've arrived first day at Fresh Start. Now what? What are we going to do from here? Why? Maybe let's just go here. Why did we go to voluntary service? Why would you, maybe you've been in voluntary service, maybe you're thinking of going to voluntary service. Why would you go to voluntary service? Just two or three responses. No responses? Why would you go to voluntary service? Call of God is one.
To deepen your relationship with God through your term of service.
To deepen relationship with God, that's a good goal, absolutely. To be a servant. And so that includes answering the call of God, ministering to people, being a servant. Good answers. So as we think of the call into service and we think of why I go to service, in that 175 people that I have encountered in the last 26 years, there have been some who have had that goal. Actually, there have been many who have had those kinds of goals, very noble goals. People who said, I'm here to serve. Tell me what you want done. I'm here to do it. Oh, God bless those people. They are a joy to work with. Sometimes there's people who have other goals for going into service, like maybe a parent says, I have a rebel son, and if he goes into service, maybe they can fix him over there. Maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe it's pride, because if I go into service, somebody's going to recognize my name at Reach 2017. That gets weak, really gets weak. Spiritual growth, peer pressure. You know, there's lots of different reasons. Again, I come back to what is the call of God. So as we think of being in service, I would like to draw our attention toward, after we're there, it is very important that we function as a team. And I'm just going to, these are not original with me, but I'm just going to lay out some principles of teamwork that I believe are important when it comes into the realm of voluntary service. First one that we're going to look at today is that of trust. Trust among our staff is the glue that holds us together. And you know, I talked about those early days at Fresh Start. Had it not been that there was a relationship of trust there, I would have been sunk, because I knew that among our staff team, we were in it together, and I knew that we were in it for each other's good, that we were going to cover each other's back no matter how bad it got. We were going to be together. At the end of the day, we could still sit in the office and we could fellowship no matter how ugly it got during the day. That was very, very important to me. It was important, as I considered that area of trust, that there was a consistency, that time after time I would know there was a predicted response of the staff team around me. I knew how they were going to respond when I said A, B, or C. They were going to respond with whatever the response was going to be. They were predictable. There was a confidence there that they were going to be consistent in their responses. There was a loyalty there. I remember in those early days, and we were working with ex-convicts, men out of the prison system, and I'm telling you, we couldn't police dog it fast enough. Those guys were 3 miles ahead of us every morning, it seemed like. They got up way earlier than any of us did. No, they didn't really. But in the way they lived life, they were wide open. And, you know, but as I think of loyalty and as we would address things with our clients and you know, I never feared that the rest of the staff team was going to disagree with what I told a client. We were together as a team. I think it's part of that trust. Trust also will delegate. That's part of the whole trust. And many things were delegated to me. And yeah, that I could rabbit trail on that one too. I won't for now. As we continue the acronym, the second one is energy management. Energy management. And you know, even a thoroughbred horse can't run at full speed day after day, hour after hour. we need periodic breaks. We need to budget our energy. And that's hard to do when you're in service, especially if you are a person who is a go-getter. That becomes pretty significant. So it's important to pace ourselves. There are days, yes, when we are going to put our all into it and we are going to burn the candle on both ends, as we would say. But then there's also days that we can kind of pace ourselves out just a bit. One of the things that we talk about at Fresh Start sometimes, you know, when we do strawberries or we do sweet corn, you know, last summer we were doing sweet corn and it was like two pickup loads at a time. And we called it plurking, combination of play and work, you know. Picking strawberries, it's not uncommon to see a rotten one go flying through the air and splat on the next guy. We try to have some fun with it. It's not all just seriousness. There's times of enjoyment in the process. So, economy of energy. Affirmation, another great tool of a team. To affirm each other, to let each other know that we have done a good job. Every one of us today is hungry for affirmation. We love it when someone comes and says, just this morning, I was sitting up here in the foyer there at our booth, and a lady comes by. She's also in counseling ministry at another organization. She says, Tim, I just want to bless you for the work that you're doing. You have been a faithful servant of God. And she said a few more things. But you know, what did I come away from that conversation thinking? I can face today. I can do these two sessions this afternoon, and it's going to be okay. Affirmation is an incredible, incredible tool. So you think of affirmation, does it only come from leadership? No. Can it come from peers? Absolutely. Do we all need encouragement? Yes, we need encouragement. It's part of life. It's part of how we live. So affirmation, a very important key. The next one is management of mistakes. You know, Proverbs 24:16 says, even though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. And I tell you what, I can't begin to tell you how many times that I have come up short in the 26 years of ministry. I remember when I was taking over the shop foreman role, the foreman who was there before me, he said, now, Tim, he said, when you price a storage barn to someone, to a customer, he said, sometimes they're going to ask you for some option that you've just never done one quite like it. But he said the customer needs a price and they need it now, or you will not sell the barn. And so he said, you shoot the best price you can give. Some days you're going to probably be a little high and you're going to make pretty good money. Some days you're going to be a little low and you may lose a few dollars. But he said, when the dust all settles in the long run at the end of the year, you're going to be okay. And that concept right there has played an important role in my life. Just knowing that I'm not always going to do it perfectly, but I will get back up and I will go again. It's not going to cripple what I'm doing. And when you go into service, you are going to be inexperienced, if I may say that, in a large way. It's okay to make a mistake if we are willing to learn from the mistake and grow from it. And hopefully we don't repeat the same mistake twice, but it's part of life. We will make mistakes. Mistakes are how we learn and how we get better at the things that we do. Some of those mistakes. The fifth area I would like to look at here is weekly or regular staff meetings. And I'm using the term weekly simply because it fits into the teamwork acronym. I am not one who says that it has to be weekly. Matter of fact, at Fresh Start, we have a daily staff meeting for our staff guys just to stay connected with what all's going on. And then we have a weekly meeting as well with all of our team. But it's important to have regular times of communication. Just connecting, making sure that we're on the same page. I don't believe that we are meant to be islands. We are meant to be workers together as a team with Christ. Those meetings don't always have to be long. but just to say, hey, is there anything that I should be doing differently? What can I do to serve you? Is there something that you need from me? How do we, you know, what's going on in your life? Is there anything that I can do to bless you today? Anything I can do to help out your schedule? Those kind of things are really, really important. Maybe you go to that meeting and say, you know, I'm having difficulty with A, B, and C, or I need a decision about whatever the thing is that you need a decision about, or I'm struggling with whatever it may be that you're struggling. But you go to that meeting with an agenda and you work on things. So it's important to stay connected as a staff team. Open communication is the next one. The Living Bible puts Proverbs 13 this way. It says, reliable communication permits progress. Reliable communication permits progress. And I think that is so important. What is the probably one of the biggest communication failures that we have? Isn't it in assuming, making assumptions as to what someone else is thinking? I assumed you were going to do whatever else it was, you know. I just thought that, you know, we were going to be there. those things get us in trouble at times. So that whole thing, I assume, is a big area. We often look at things from our own perspective, which is pretty limited. There's only one way that I can do it. Impatience is another one. When we think of communication, am I listening? Or am I thinking only about what I'm going to say next? Very important element of communication. So we take the patience to listen to what the other person is saying. Recognition and reward. I believe this is an important key, and it doesn't matter who you are and where you live. If you recognize the people around you and you give them a positive word of encouragement, you let them a note, you do something that says you did a good job. Elaine this morning, when she talked to me and said, hey, Tim, I just want to bless you and what you're doing. That has a way of giving energy. It's giving life to the people around us. And so recognition and reward. Someone said that it's amazing what all can get done if we don't care who gets the recognition for it. And so it really doesn't matter who gets the recognition. We're here to serve, right? That's the whole reason why we go into VS, is to serve and to be a blessing to others. The last one here, keep on learning. Keep on learning. We are all learners. Doesn't matter if I've been in administration for 20 years. I still need to take the attitude of a learner. I still, when it came to looking at this topic this week, I was the learner. So at Fresh Start, we, in our staff training, our accountability, we promote learning by having book reading assignments. We watch video series as a staff team to promote the spirit of learning. We have a weekly staff fellows. We have a prayer breakfast on Monday mornings from 6 to 8:15. And so those are things that are to promote learning. And I have no idea what we have going on the screen, but we will just kind of eliminate that one. We need to promote learning. That is an important aspect. So as we think of these principles, we have the team, trust, energy management, affirmation, management of mistakes, weekly and regular staff meetings, open communication, recognition of what other people are doing, and then the attitude of a learner. Very, very important things that will enable us to be good VSers. Now, that's just some nuts and bolts. I'd like to take our attention just a little deeper and look at some other things. Let's consider a scripture. Looking at 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10, I'm going to take the time to read that. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul talking here. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Imagine that. He heard a message that was so loud, that was so clear, that was so radiant, and he wasn't even allowed to speak it. He wasn't allowed to tell anybody. Oh, that, There has to be some frustration there. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. I will only glory in my weaknesses, as he's saying. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say of the truth, but I now forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Incredible. He has this message, and lest he get puffed up with pride, there was a thorn in the flesh. Ah, wow. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So as we consider, we're just going to talk about this passage here for a bit. Principles in serving. Just some things that we need to work at here today. Principles in serving. The third heaven and a thorn. We're in one chapter of Scripture. Within a 10-verse segment, we have a vision of heaven, and we have a thorn in the flesh within just a few verses. Is that the way of God? Perhaps. I think so. I think there's some things that we need to look at here. So, the wonders of heaven and a thorn in the flesh. It said the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet means to beat black and blue. The thing that was, I just chafe against, it was hard in my life. It was a struggle. It was a battle. But that thing that is difficult is also God's gift to keep us humble. It is a gift of God to keep our heart and our attitude in the right place. That thorn equals weakness in my life. Your thorn is whatever, my thorn is whatever there is in my life that makes me consciously aware that I am weak and that I need the power of God to rest upon me. Imagine voluntary service with a thorn. It can become beautiful. Absolutely becomes beautiful. And Paul here says, it's lest I be exalted above measure. Lest I start thinking that I am more than I am. Really, when the dust all settles, I am but a servant, if that. So God is doing us a favor when he sends us a thorn. The devil is trying to destroy Paul. God was trying to preserve him. And they're both using the same tool. Isn't that the way it works? Good and bad run on parallel tracks. They usually arrive about the same time. So the thing that God was using to preserve Paul, same thing that Satan was using to try to defeat him. So we have the thorn and the third heaven. I believe it's important as we consider voluntary service that we make it our prayer, God, keep me usable. I remember the time in my life where I would say, God, use me. God, just make me to be great, you know. Is that really where it's at? I think there's a better way. Let's pray that God would keep us usable, that God would keep us in a spirit and in a frame of mind that we are being willing servants. You hear of people falling away. You hear of people leaving their post of service. And I've seen it happen where people become discouraged. And everything is just down and out, and they end up going home and they're depressed and whatever else may happen. Where is our servant heart? Have we said, God, keep my heart usable. Make me pure in your eyes. You know, to live in that realm of submission to God is the real deal. The fact is, one day we may be used. And the next day, we may be found sitting on the shelf. Just because I'm working at Fresh Start today does not mean that I will be there tomorrow. God may have some plans in my life that I don't know anything about, and my life may look radically different next week or next month than what it looks today. We don't know that. So we live with a surrendered heart. We live with the idea that, God, I'm in it with you, wherever you call, whatever you lead. So as Christian workers, our tendency is to think of ourselves just a little bit higher than we ought to. I think it's important that we maintain a humility of spirit. It's not just because I'm at Fresh Start. That doesn't make me who I am. Who I am is because of what Christ has done for me. It's not because I've worked at Fresh Start these years. No. That's of worthless value. The fact is, it's what God is doing. So if I am to stay usable, some questions. Am I in the Word? Am I living in brokenness? Am I living in humility? Is my heart surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Am I in prayer? Am I walking with the Father? Where are the spiritual fruits at in my life? Think about Moses. He was called to deliver God's people. I believe he knew that calling from an early age. And I don't know where he was at. He killed an Egyptian one day. I don't know if he thought that maybe if he'd kill an Egyptian one a day, that maybe he'd eventually conquer the nation. I'm not sure what he thought. But, you know, God banished him to the backside of the desert for the next 40 years. Moses thought he had the answers, that he had the solutions. God says, no, you need to go to school for a while, 40 years on the backside of the desert looking after the sheep. And then when God took him to the burning bush and said, now, Moses, it's your time. It's time to go and deliver Israel. What did Moses say? What was his response? He had about seven or eight things there. God, I stutter. I don't speak well. Well, you know, Acts 6 says that he was a man of eloquent speech. And his list went on. God, I don't have any experience. God, the people won't believe me. They won't listen to me. And God says, no, you're just the man I'm looking for. What was God looking for? He was looking for a man of weakness. Moses had to go from having all the answers to saying, God, I need you. Where are we at with that? God, I need you in my life. God, the situation before me is way bigger than what I am. So we need to have God. Weakness is the number one quality that God is looking for God's strength to come through. I know that's in here somewhere. There we go. Weakness is the number one qualification for God's strength to come through. God deliberately passes over sometimes the gifted and the talented, and he looks for those who are weak, those who are willing to depend on him. Why does he do that? Because the glory goes to God. It's not, if it was all about what I can do, that would be the glory to me. That doesn't work. It's got to be the glory to Jesus Christ. King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, says there that he was greatly blessed by God, and he was greatly helped until he grew strong and lifted up his heart. When he didn't need God anymore, God left him. We need to maintain that dependence on Jesus Christ. We need to be usable in the kingdom of God. That whole process of being usable. Moses, God, he had a rod in his hand. God said, throw it down. And Moses threw it down, and it became a snake. I can imagine Moses probably looked off for higher ground somewhere. Now God says, now come on back and pick it up by the tail. And when we pick a snake up by the tail, the working end can get to us. Is that right? Now God said, pick it up, and it became a rod again. And you know what? After that, it was no longer called Moses' rod. It was the rod of God. In Scripture, and so it just gives us a little idea of where God is at. So our strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 4:7-12, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in your mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. That's the idea of being crucified with Christ. That's the idea of jumping back to verse 5 where it says, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ. And ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. So when we are weak, that is when we are strong. That's when God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It also says there that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God deliberately passes over the mighty, over the noble, and he chooses the weak. God uses sometimes even people that you and I don't approve of because we think that they ought to look like a certain package, and they don't always look like that package. we don't always recognize the people that God uses in our lives. People are not as interested in how much you know as they are in how much you care. When we care for the people around us, that's where people are attracted. They're attracted to the people that to the people who care for them. The only thing that I have to give to people is the life of Jesus Christ, and that is the thing that brings glory to God. Death works in me so that life can happen in you. We cannot bless anybody, but out of our brokenness, we can point people to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray, and we just ask God to keep us usable. God, make me a zero for Christ. Make me a channel. I was thinking this morning about a straw. We take a drink out of a straw, and we don't really give too much consideration to the straw. We want the liquid that comes through the straw, right? When we're out in the lawn and doing the lawn work in the summertime, we're after the water or the Pepsi or whatever it may be, the iced tea that you drink. We're wanting the liquid that comes through the straw, not the straw itself. And, you know, our lives are to be that channel to flow Jesus Christ to the people around us. Death in me so that life can become possible in you. My grace is sufficient. Item F there. My grace is sufficient. You know, if abundance of talent was required for usefulness, many of us would be disqualified. It's not the abundance of ability that brings qualification, nor does the absence of ability disqualify. The only qualification is that of weakness, is that of dependence on Jesus Christ, saying, God, I am a nobody. I need you to make my life shine. We are to live as the cracked pot. The reason for that is that when we are weak, then is when we are strong. You know, Paul says that the thorn was given to me, and I believe that God gave it to him. It originated with God. And then he goes on to say is that that he might learn to trust in God, that his dependence would be on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He had already been to the third heaven. He was already the greatest of the apostles. He had already written a great amount of scripture, and still he had to be taught to depend on God. And folks, we are no different. We need that journey of dependence on God. Victory in suffering is possible. Lest we be exalted above measure, we need to learn to overcome bitterness. Romans 8, 28 and 29, all things working together to them who love God. We need to be able to view the difficult things in our life, the suffering in our life as from God. Otto Koning said that he could be a good missionary if it wouldn't be for the people that he was serving. Isn't that about the way it works? No. We need to learn that it's okay. Those thorns will give us appreciation of Jesus and his grace. That means my life, the pain and the heartache, you know, we would be less a person without those difficult experiences in our lives. And then we find out that Jesus Christ is truly all that we need. But we'll never know it until he's all that we have. The thorn will introduce us to new dimensions of grace that we never thought possible. So as we come toward the end of our session here today, I'd like to just look at a few characteristics of a successful volunteer, some of the do's and don'ts of being in service. And I don't know what comes to your mind. I just brainstorming the other night. I just listed a few things. They're not in any kind of chronological order or anything. Just some things that I believe are important. So some of the do's: be alive and well-fed spiritually. I think it's important. And you know, it's not the job of the ministry or the organization that you're serving to keep you alive spiritually. That is your job, and you had better figure out how that you can budget time. Fact is, we do what we want to do. We accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. And so we need to be alive and well-fed spiritually. We need to live out of that team spirit. We've already talked about that. We need to be yourself. I remember when I went to Fresh Start, I was there, and I'd hear the house parent bragging on another single staff fellow. And you know what? I set out to be just like him. His name was Jason. He's a good friend of mine. I set out to be just like him. I watched how he did evening share time with his residents. And he would read a certain book, and man, I was out buying the book, and he would do Bible memory with his guys, and I was doing Bible memory with my guys, and I was getting some praise right alongside of him, and the house parent was starting to brag on me a little bit, and I liked that affirmation. Oh, my goodness. Then, one morning, we went to staff meeting, And house parent comes to staff and he says, guys, we're going to have to upset the fruit basket. And all the residents were now assigned to a new counselor. And I came out of that staff meeting having zero residents. I had no clients under my care. And you talk about a guy on a mountain who was now in a valley. I was in the depths of sin, in the depths of despair and despondency, because I thought I was doing everything right. I was not being myself. I was trying to be Jason, and it wasn't working. And so I had to go through and evaluate. And I had a couple days there to where I had to come to the point of surrender. And the thing I didn't know, the thing the house parent didn't say, is that he had another client coming in that he was wanting to put with me. I didn't know that, but I had to go through that surrender. Oh, my word, that was just incredible. God took that whole experience and developed a whole ministry out of that thing in my life. It's important to be cheerful. It's important to demonstrate loyalty to the team around you. You're here together. You have to support each other. You can disagree when you're in a staff meeting, you're behind closed doors, but when we get out with the clients and the people that we serve, we had better be together. It's okay to discuss differences, but we need to be loyal to each other. We need to understand the vision of the organization and align my heart with it. Many people have come to Fresh Start and they have been zealots. I love them. We learn from those guys. But sometimes they don't understand the vision of the organization before they jump in and try to change a lot of things. And so it does create some problem. Be truthful. Very basic concept. Be willing to deal with personal struggles. That is a very key thing. If we are to learn to grow and to overcome, we need to be willing to deal with personal struggles. Some more things to do. Respect your leadership. Realize that life is not going to be fair. We need to get over it sometimes. We need to be diligent. We need to model a desire for God's word. And that's especially true when you're working in Christian ministry. We need to model a desire for God's word. We need to be responsible. We need to report things that we damage. We live life on purpose, intentionally, out to bless others and to make others a success. And I tell you what, that becomes really, really wonderful. Some don'ts. Don't complain when things don't go your way. Don't be lazy. Don't be defensive when someone points things out to you. Don't be married to your cell phone. Don't be married to your... We've been dealing with that one at Fresh Start recently. Get this one person... But don't be married to that thing. You're here to serve, right? We're here to make the ministry a success. Tear others down. Don't tear others down or cause dissension. You're here to encourage, to strengthen, to build. Don't cause drama in the mission, okay? When you have personal struggles, go to someone. Talk about it. Resolve those issues. Learn the path of surrender. Find a mentor to work with you. Really, really important. Just a few more. Don't be overly zealous in wrong areas. Don't be prone to anger. You know, life is not always going to be fair, and that's just a principle of life. We're not always going to understand, but we can live with a good attitude. Don't be harsh or grouchy. And these are just common things that we should all know, right? But sometimes when focus gets on myself, self gets in the way of ministry. Don't cover your sins, okay? Live with openness and honesty about the sins that we have in our life. Don't be critical. Don't carry a grudge. Grudges will interrupt the flow of service like none other. Bitterness will drain energy. Don't be a taker. You know, in life, there are givers and takers. Which one are you going to be? Just as we wrap up, your first volunteer priority. What do you think it is? I'm just going to tell you what it is. Your first priority is me. It is you yourself. If you don't take care of you spiritually, you will have nothing to give to the people around you. Your first priority has got to be taking care of yourself spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. You've got to look after that. It does not say that we slack off and we don't pull our load. No, we do pull our load. But we also learn to live within the walk of grace. We then live out of the overflow of what God is doing in our hearts. when we are taking care of ourselves, especially in the spiritual realm, my spiritual life will overflow into the lives of those around me. So as we think about the characteristics of a successful volunteer, there is a page very similar to this, and it is back at the door. One of our ushers will have those back there. I would like for you to pick that up. Matter of fact, I've got a picture of it here. And these are 49 character qualities. I borrowed these from IBLP, this list. But I would encourage you to pick one of those up. And as you think of voluntary service, go through and highlight the character qualities that are on that paper and ask God to birth those areas into your life as you go from here. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.